Passover of God. From death to life eternal, from sin's dominion free, our Christ has brought us over with hymns of victory.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Amen.
Alleluia.
Eternal of resurrection light.
victor's reign.
O Lord, according to your good word, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Therefore, let us humbly bow down and confess our sins before him.
And kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
O Lord our God, please hear first these our silent confessions. Lord our God, on this day when we celebrate the resurrection, you have raised us up, and you've raised us up to be a priesthood of all believers. And so please hear this, our corporate confession.
Most holy and merciful Father, we acknowledge before you our sinful nature and our many offenses. We are prone to do evil and slow to do good. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your way, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Lord, we are ashamed and sorry for all the ways that we have displeased you. Help us to love you with all our heart and mind and strength, and give us the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may walk in your ways and joyfully serve you all of our days. Father, teach us to hate our rebellious acts. Cleanse us from our secret faults, and forgive our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us arise together, and together hear the good news. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our Heavenly Father, in his great mercy, has given his only Son to die for you. For his sake, your sins are forgiven.
Thanks be to God, our sins are forgiven.
Amen.
At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall say, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion, unto the Lord our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To all my brothers I'll declare the glory of your holy name. I'll praise you where the people meet, who fear the Lord his praise proclaim. All sons of Jacob praise his grace, and send in all Israel's race. For he has not despised the poor, he has not scorned their wretched state, he has not turned away his face from anyone in trouble great. When any cry to him in grief, he heard his prayer and sent relief. Within the congregation great, I offer praise you have supplied. I'll pay my vows with them who fear, the meek with food are satisfied. Who seek the Lord shall him adore. May your heart live forevermore.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn upon the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, but go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall you see me. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Christians, what do you believe?
Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
And in whom do you place your trust?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven,
and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We want to certainly extend our full greetings to each of you here on this great resurrection day. Christ is risen, and that means that the whole world has been set aright. As much as we may view ourselves as in this weird place and this upside down world, spiritually it has been set aright anew again because of Jesus. We are just so thankful for what it is we are celebrating today, for who it is we are celebrating today. We want to stay in prayer. We know that this is a special day and we have lots of opportunities coming forward in the future here. Please be in prayer. It is our hope, our desire to be seeing you all soon and to be congregating together and having full corporate worship. But again, we wait upon that to happen in our culture. I do want to express to you the opportunity that we'll have next Sunday morning where Brother Terry will be bringing us the word of the Lord. He'll be preaching for us, and so please, please be looking forward to that. I want to take for our sermon the scripture text that might not be what you would think would be a typical Easter Sunday or Resurrection Day scripture text. I want to begin here in the book of Jeremiah. Usually Easter season has very, very few references even in the lectionary that come from the Old Testament, but I want to take our text from Jeremiah chapter 31. We had this read for us, but then that final verse is verse 6. We're kind of going to start there, and I'll read that in just a moment. But we also have not sung yet today what is probably the most famous of all the Easter and resurrection songs, that great hymn of Charles Wesley, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. We will get to that, but there's a reason why we'll be singing that after the sermon today, because the title of the sermon is Soar We Now. Soar We Now. And I want to begin, modern technology is the greatest thing ever, praise be. Soar We Now is the title of the sermon, and by the way, I want to make it really, really clear here, we don't have it up on the screen for you to see, Soar We Now. That is S-O-A-R, Soar We Now, not S-O-R-E. You see, earlier this week, when we did have some nice and warm and sunny weather, I had the opportunity to be out and about a little bit. I did some yard work and things like that, things that I haven't done since last fall. And I got out there and just doing those different things and exercising some different muscles, I had many of my body parts that were really sore, S-O-R-E. They were sore. I had aches and pains. And I can remember thinking, looking forward to Easter, and I'm thinking about Wesley's hymn, and I'm saying to myself, sore me now, S-O-R-E. My whole body was really sore now, sore me now. But that's not where we're going. We're not talking about S-O-R-E. This is soar, S-O-A-R, like an eagle, flying high, ascending, rising. Rising with Jesus. We know this. It's there in the back of our minds. Theologically, we understand it. We understand Resurrection Day is about the resurrection of Jesus. But the great factuality of that resurrection and the application of that resurrection is that we are risen with him. Like an eagle, rising with him. Soar we now is the opening lyric of the fourth stanza of Charles Wesley's Christ the Lord is Risen Today. But do you remember the reading from Jeremiah 31 and 6? Listen as I read it again. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. The watchman shall cry, there will come a day, the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this text, and we are noting here today that the resurrection of Jesus Christ absolutely, positively, completely fulfills this prophecy. That watchmen, speakers, preachers all across the world would be crying out, Arise, let us go up to Mount Zion unto the Lord. Father, thank you for the fulfillment of it. Thank you that it's being fulfilled here today. Thank you that it's being fulfilled here and now today. And thank you that it's fulfilled all because of the work, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes and marks the true fulfillment of this verse. This scripture right here is fulfilled because of the resurrection. Arise, let us go to Mount Zion. Let us go to Zion unto the Lord our God. It's fulfilled. This verse says that there will come a day when preachers will gather, preachers from all around the world, preachers from all of those in Mount Ephraim will say, Arise. And they will say, Ascend, let us go up to Zion, that spiritual community. And let us be there together in that great, great spiritual assembly. You know, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, there is a reference to this very thing where the writer of Hebrews is telling us in chapter 12 and verse 18, all the places that we are not, and all of the scenery and all of the conditions that are not a part of the Christian life. And then in verse 22, he transitions and he says this about us. He says, you, but, contrasting to that, the Old Testament saints, but you are come. For the last 2,000 years, since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the assembly of his church is fulfilled in these verses. You are come unto Mount Zion, the very thing that we heard Jeremiah speaking about. You are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Furthermore, you've come to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, who are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And of course, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The Church of Jesus Christ is here. We're all here where the writer of Hebrews is telling us we are. We are come. We are there at Mount Zion. And we are in the midst of a general assembly of the Church of the Firstborn. What great news this is because of the resurrection. This is where we are. We are here in terms of what is described for us in the book of Hebrews, which means that we are also there. Mount Zion, the city of the living God, in the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the whole church, who are written in God, who are written in heaven. And we've come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men who are made perfect. Our theme today is that, of course, as glorious and as true as it is that there was in history the physical resurrection, singularly of the body of Jesus Christ, and that that is an independent factoid that is seemingly isolated from any impact on us, it is also true that his resurrection was never meant to be independent or isolated or having no bearing and no impact on us. Indeed, of course, ours is dependent on his. And in his resurrection, we have our resurrection. And so that's why Wesley, and all through the ages, we've been able to say, soar we now where Christ has led. Without him, without Jesus Christ, there is no, as it says in Jeremiah 31:6, arise, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Without him, without his resurrection, there is no fulfillment of Jeremiah 31:6. Arise, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Furthermore, did you notice in our gospel lesson that the resurrection story was not just, I mean, it's hard to even say these words when I say not just about him. I mean, the factuality of the resurrection was not just about him. There are other elements in the story. It is not just factoids about him. Not just that essential propositional truth. You know, we say the creeds that he rose from the dead. We believe in the resurrection. It's not just those propositional truths, though it is that. But it was and it is so much more. I want to remind you of who is in view, even as we read the resurrection story. Of course, there are the Marys that are there coming and bringing the spices, but even beyond the Marys, if we look at verse 7, it says this, go ye quickly, tell his disciples. The story of the resurrection is, of course, about that singular event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the story, the narrative is filled out involving all sorts of others. Here we see the disciples in verse 7. And then in verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and they did run to bring his disciples the word. It was about them. Verse 9, and they went to tell his disciples. And then we get to verse 11, Jesus says, don't be afraid, go and tell my brethren. So it's not just about Jesus alone. It's about the disciples. It's about the brethren. You know, that psalm that we had a difficult time singing a couple of minutes ago came from Psalm 22. And Psalm 22, the first three quarters of the psalm or so are all about the cross and the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. But the end of the psalm is all about, go tell my brethren that I have accomplished these things. To all my brothers, I'll declare as we sang. And by the way, in verse 10 there of our gospel lesson, when he talks about tell my brethren, he says to them, I want you to meet me in Galilee. Do we remember that Galilee was known as Galilee of the Gentiles? That's a broader community of people who were finding out and benefiting from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was Galilee of the Gentiles. And so this was good news. This was great news for the whole wide world. And so again, of course, so are we now where Christ has led. Perhaps you remember Jeremiah. Again, 31 in verse 6. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim. Ephraim was a nickname for northern Israel, for the 10 tribes, for those who were half on the inside, half on the outside, otherwise known as, the lost tribes. This prophecy in Jeremiah is saying that there will come a day when there will be watchmen or preachers who are on Mount Ephraim, meaning representing those lost tribes, and telling them that they too will arise and come up to Zion. So Ephraim is this nickname for the northern Israel, those 10 tribes, and so the good news went beyond Judah. Just like Jesus' ministry went beyond just the Jews. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Jeremiah has given us this picture here that this resurrection of Jesus Christ was not just for Judah, not just for the Jews, but it was for Mount Ephraim. It was for the Gentiles, Galilee of the Gentiles. It was for the whole world. So are we now. We rise because he rose. This teaching that somehow, on some level, we rose with him or rose together with him is all over the New Testament. For those following along with your Bible, you can find it in Romans 6 and verse 5. You can find it in Ephesians 2 and verse 6. You can find it right here in our New Testament lesson of Colossians 3 and 1. And by the way, if we were to simply just back up from that lesson for just a bit into Colossians in chapter 2, we will read as an introduction to that idea of our being raised with him. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to pick it up here in verse 12. Remember these words, buried with him in baptism, in which also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. We're participating. We participated in his death. We are participating in his resurrection. You are risen with him. And then when we come to that New Testament lesson from Colossians in chapter 3, a better preposition to start is not if you, but since you, therefore, or then, be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Since this has occurred, since you are risen, that word risen in the Greek is a very peculiar word. It's a compound word. It's a compound word, and the word is soon egero. And that first part of it is a preposition. And when we say soon, we don't mean soon like it's going to happen in, 5 minutes. The word soon means together, it means with. So we have the word risen there, and in the Greek it really is co-risen. Risen with, risen together. This is right out of the Greek New Testament here. That preposition means with or together. Think about our word a symphony. It's the same prefix. Symphony. Symphony is sound. There is a group of people who come together. They come in context with each other, and they produce a beautiful music. Think of the word sympathy, right? They have sympathy for someone. You have emotion for them. You have empathy for them. Sympathy is that coming together of feeling. Sympathy. Symphony. Here we have the idea that we are coming together with Christ. We are raised together with Christ. Here it is, together written. And as I've said, there are some who characterize this, and even in some of the ways they commentate, if not translate that verse, it is co-risen. We've been raised with him. In other places in the Bible, we see this. In the book of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about our work before God, it talks about us being co-laborers. We are working with God. We are working together with him. It's the same idea. Here, it is we are co-risen with Christ. Now, of course, this touches on our studied concentration of union with him. We've talked about being buried with him, being dead with him. And now we're talking about being raised together with him. In baptism, we die with him. If we look at this passage here in Colossians 3, which we had read for us here, it says in verse 3, "For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." In baptism, we died with him. In resurrection, we rose with him. It's exactly what's being said here. And so what does this mean for us? It means that we do not have to respond to life. We don't have to respond to the various challenges of life. We don't have to respond to the various temptations of life the way our fallen nature always has responded. When this happens, you fly off the handle and get angry. When that happens, you become very depressed or in despair. When another thing happens, you become just irresponsibly giddy. We died with Christ, and we have been raised with Christ. We are dead. We have his life. We do not need to respond to these things the way we always have responded. We are not limited to, we are not limited by our old resources. We are dead. If you're given to despair, if you're given to anxiety, if you're given to too much excitability, if you're given to anger, those are the resources that you have in the flesh, but you're not limited by those resources anymore. Verse 4 of this passage says, Christ is our life. The words who is supplied there. Christ, who is our life. That sounds very much like what we've been studying. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is our life. This means that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and well in you and with you. Your outcomes are, your responses can be as his. I know I've talked about this before, but think about it. Things that are fundamentally at odds with who he is are now fundamentally at odds with who you are. Think about it in terms of your challenges, in terms of your failings, in terms of your temptations. Things that are fundamentally at odds with who he is are now fundamentally at odds with who you are because he lives in you. And in an even more positive way, things that are fundamentally in line with what he did and who he is are now fundamentally in line with who you are and what you are to do. The way that we have responded in the past doesn't have to be the way we respond in the future. We've been raised with him. We're dead. And we're raised to newness of life, and it's his life. And we're not limited by our resources. We're not limited to the same old muscle memory and habits. Oh, that's just the way I am. That's the way I've always responded. That's the way I've always done things. This resurrection of Jesus Christ means great, great hope for us. And so whatever else we do on this Easter, I want us to take a moment this Easter and consider some habits. Maybe they're thoughts, maybe they're words, maybe they are deeds. Consider some of those things that you have not had victory over. You know, we all have those areas in our life where someone else or some other situation has the ability, seemingly, to push our buttons, right? And we sin. Because of that muscle memory, because of that relying on our own old resources of who we are. So think about a habit, a thought, a word, or a deed that you have not had victory over. Think about just one of them. Maybe there's a couple of them where you have said, and maybe you only said it in your heart, I'll never have victory over this. I've been a Christian 20 years and I just can't get past that. I've been a Christian 40 years and I just can't get past that. I still do that. I still fall into that sin. The sin that so easily besets us, as the Bible would say. And maybe you've only said it in your heart. Maybe you've not confessed it to anybody else. But you said, I'll never have victory over this. The fact of the matter is, you are correct. You won't have victory over that. The muscle memory of who you are, the fallenness of your sinful flesh, your constitutional idolatry, you won't have victory over that. But because you are dead and you've been raised with Christ, he will have victory over that. He can, he does have victory over that. His resurrected life is your hope. It's your freedom. It's your power. It's your victory. I don't care if those same temptations and push being having your button pushed in those areas has resulted in you responding in the same sinful way for 60 years, 70, put any number on it you want. Today, reckon yourself dead and reckon yourself raised from the dead with Jesus Christ living within you. His resurrection is your hope for tomorrow. All right, you've messed up. You've even been a Christian for 50 years and you've messed up. His resurrection is your hope, your freedom, your power, your victory. Of course, Easter and the resurrection is all about Jesus. He's the one who rose. We celebrate his resurrection. He bodily rose from the dead. But it's also about this. Remember, soar we now where Christ has led. And so, yes, there is a fuller deliverance where frailty and folly of our mortal bodies will be felt no more. when we no longer suffer in this, our sinful flesh. But union with Christ means victory assured, both now and for eternity. And Easter is a taste of that victory. Union with Christ means purity, and it means unity. Perhaps you remember Jeremiah 31, the very first verse of that Old Testament prophecy said this, At that same time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. The historic covenant prophecy was always, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. All the families. And so this has to do with our recognition of brothers and sisters in the faith. And of course, it has application to those who are, you know, of different races, different ethnic groups, different countries, and all those people out there. But it also has to do with how we relate to one another, and do we truly have unity one with another? And are we really treating others the way Christ would treat them, because Christ is in me? And are we treating them the way that we would treat Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ lives in them? So how are you treating the other members of the body of Christ? At that same time, Jeremiah says, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. All the families, all the tribes, even the ones who sit in the pew next to you, even the ones who's are next door to you, even the ones next door to you who perhaps go to a different church, or brothers and sisters in Christ. Because God said, I will be their God and they will be my people. Well, again, I will remind you that that time has come. Verse 6. There shall be a day. That day is today. That day was Easter 2,000 years ago. There has come a day that the watchmen, the preachers, upon Mount Ephraim, all over the world, shall cry, Arise! Let us go up to Zion, unto the Lord our God. Resurrection Day was that day. He is gathering all above. I want to close with this thought. Maybe you came here today and you were like me earlier in the week. You're sore, S-O-R-E. Maybe not sore in the same way that I was physically sore from doing some yard work and things like that, but you're sore and you're wounded. You have a soreness in your spirit. Maybe you came here sore. God would have us to leave here soaring, S-O-A-R-I-N-G. Resurrection Day was that day. He's gathering all above. The call and the cry to us is, arise with him and arise with the brethren. Soar we now where Christ has led. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for the passage in Colossians, which tells us that we are co-risen with Christ, and that we are dead, and that Christ is our life. We thank you for the glorious gospel whereby we read that account of Jesus bodily being raised from the dead, and how that was celebratory, and how news of that went out even to Galilee of the Gentiles. It went out to the brethren, it went out to the disciples. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fulfillment of that prophecy in Jeremiah. Lord, where you proclaimed a day where all the families of the earth would be united in you. And Father, you proclaimed the day where even those who are on Mount Ephraim, Lord, those scattered tribes, people all over the world, they would be called upon to arise. We can't arise of our own strength. We can't go up to Zion. But Lord, because of the resurrection, because of you, we have and we can. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you as we prepare to sing this great, glorious resurrection hymn. Christ the Lord is risen today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.